Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 31. As we read this passage together, you'll quickly pick up that this is about the shepherd of Israel. This is what God promises about how he will provide for his people as the good shepherd of his sheep. Let's start in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pastures they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clean water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who have enslaved them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Amen. This morning our sermon comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. That's Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Let's listen to God's word together. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Many of us are probably very familiar with this passage. Jesus feeds 5,000 men plus many other women and children. This is one of the most amazing miracles in all of the Gospels. And it's such an important miracle in Jesus' ministry that it's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have this story. But why? Why is this so important? What is Jesus trying to teach us about himself by feeding the 5,000? Well, this miracle, more than any other miracle we've seen so far in the Gospel of Mark, this miracle teaches us who Jesus is and what he does. Jesus here teaches us about his identity, his heart, and his work. And what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus is the promised shepherd who leads and feeds his people. Jesus is the promised shepherd who leads and feeds his people. As we look at this passage, we'll see 3 points. We'll see first that Jesus the shepherd cares, verses 30 to 34. Then we'll see that Jesus the shepherd tests in verses 35 to 38. And finally, Jesus the shepherd provides in verses 38 to 44. Well, first, Jesus is the shepherd, and Jesus the shepherd cares. Verses 30 to 34. In these opening verses, we learn about Jesus' heart as the shepherd. He cares for his apostles, and he cares for the crowd. Look at how he cares for the apostles. Verse 30, they return from their mission, and in verse 31, they're right back into normal ministry with Jesus. But it's busy. Many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Now, this isn't surprising. We've seen this already in Jesus' ministry. Think back to chapter 3, verse 20. His family is concerned about Jesus for this very same reason. He was so busy serving the crowd that he could not even eat. Well, Jesus demonstrates great care and love for his apostles. That's why he suggests a rest. Verse 31, he says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, we're going to see later in the passage that that time of rest doesn't quite work out in the way that we might expect. But recognize that Jesus looks at his apostles. He sees them. He knows their limitations and he knows their need for rest. And he works to provide the rest that they desperately need. Jesus is showing the heart of a shepherd as he cares for his apostles. But what we notice even more in this passage is how Jesus cares for the crowd. Look at verse 34. People run ahead to where they know Jesus is going to land, so that by the time he steps out of the boat, there's already a large crowd gathered on the shore waiting for him. Jesus' plan for rest seems like it just got wrecked. How would you be tempted to respond to the crowd or to anyone who is ruining your vacation? I know how I would be tempted to respond, I think. But Jesus responds to their presence with compassion. He looks at them with compassion, says he had compassion on them. That means that he had deep, heartfelt love and care for the real live people who are standing right in front of him. This is how Jesus responds to those who are suffering in the Gospels, with compassion. This is how he interacts with the sick and with those who are sorrowing. Jesus treats them with compassion. Now, Jesus has compassion on the crowd here for a very specific reason. He has compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's such a vivid image, a vivid picture. It's saying that these people are like sheep and they're not being led or cared for. And this picture has such deep roots in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, the leaders of Israel were often described as shepherds, and the people of Israel are God's sheep. Think of Psalm 100. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus looks at these people then gathered on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He looks at them with compassion because he sees their deep spiritual needs as God's people. He sees that their true need, he sees what their true needs are, and he sees that no one is meeting their deepest needs. No one is caring for them in the way that God has commanded. Jesus has compassion on them, and his compassion leads to action. Jesus' response to the situation is to become the shepherd that these people desperately need. What does he do? He began to teach them many things. This is Jesus the shepherd in action. He begins by feeding the sheep. He begins by feeding the sheep with the word of God that they desperately need. They have not been getting the word from the Pharisees. They have not been getting the word in the synagogue. They are now, for the first time for some of these people, getting the word of God from God himself, God their shepherd who cares for them. As we look at Jesus' compassion, how that translates into action as he sees this crowd, notice also that he is responding with compassion even in the face of unbelief. We've already seen the mixed reaction of the crowds to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. This crowd is not a crowd of just converted sinners. Right? Some people are just curious. Many are confused. But the bottom line is that many, even here in Mark 6, many of these same people will never, ever believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus still shows great compassion even to them. Even to those people who will later reject him. Now, we're very used to the idea that Jesus shows compassion to us as his people. You know, even when we were still sinners, this is how God loved us, by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. That's the beautiful truth of the gospel, that God in Jesus Christ has had compassion on us because he chose us. But we begin to see the depth of Jesus' compassion when we realize that he even loves and cares for people who will reject him and crucify him. That kind of compassion is hard for us to understand. It's even harder for us to live. Now, that compassion doesn't mean that Jesus will save everyone. And that kind of compassion does not mean that he just accepts the people in their sin. Says, it's okay, I'll take care of you even though you're sinning. That's not what Jesus' compassion means here. But it does mean that he has great heartfelt love and care for people in their lostness, people who are blind in their sin, people who are living in rebellion against himself. This is our Savior. This is our shepherd. He feels this way as he looks at the crowd. And the question is that how we feel? Do we feel that same compassion, that same love, that same desire to see the good and salvation of sinners around us? I want to challenge us this morning. Think of someone you know. I want a real person in your mind. Think of their face right now. Maybe it's your neighbor, somebody you know, a friend. Do you have compassion for that person in the same way that Jesus has compassion for them? This isn't just a challenge. This is an encouragement. Pray. Pray for yourself in that relationship. Pray that you would have Jesus' heart for them. That is a prayer that Jesus, your shepherd, will answer. Jesus the shepherd cares for his sheep, and he makes us care for the sheep as well. But secondly, this morning we also see that Jesus the shepherd tests. Look at verses 35 to 38. Jesus is getting ready to show his compassion, not just by teaching the crowd, but by feeding the crowd. But before he does this, he tests his apostles. In verses 35 to 36, we see the disciples' observation and their plan. It says, when it grew late, the disciples came to him and they said, this is a desolate place. There's nothing around here. This is a desolate place. And the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. That seems like a good plan, right? We're far away from any place. It's getting late. Send them away to eat. But in verse 37, Jesus responds by testing their faith. He says, you give them something to eat. I mean, just sit with us for a minute. That seems like an absolutely ridiculous statement. How in the world are the 12 apostles going to feed 5,000 plus people? That's exactly how they feel, because they respond with that kind of shock. What do you mean? Even if we had 200 denarii worth of bread, we couldn't do this. But think carefully about what Jesus is challenging them here. Jesus is challenging them. And when he challenges them, he is actually assuming that they should take care of the crowd. He's challenging them to have the same compassion in action that he does for those very same people. And Jesus' words show that the apostles, they cannot do that by themselves. They cannot care for the crowd with the compassion of Jesus Christ by themselves in their own strength. They should, but they can't. The disciples fail Jesus' test, right? They fail his test. They don't understand what Jesus is saying to them, and they respond in unbelief. Do you think that's too strong a statement? Saying that they respond in unbelief? But that's exactly what they're expressing here. Think about, who are they talking to? Who are they saying, no, that Jesus, that's just too hard. We can't do that. Who are they telling that feeding that crowd is impossible? Have they learned nothing from what Jesus has taught them about his power and his care and his love in chapters 4 and 5? Do they not remember being saved on the sea? Do they not remember Jesus casting out a legion of demons? Do they not remember Jesus healing the woman and raising the girl? And they're telling him this is impossible? They are responding to Jesus in unbelief. And to make this even more pointed, just to really underline it, these are the very same men who just came back from a mission. They were sent by Jesus to go to share in his power and to share in his work. They did things in the past few weeks that seemed impossible. And now they're telling Jesus, we can't do it and you can't do it either. That is unbelief. That is unbelief. The disciples, they can only look horizontally. All their solutions are only man-centered, and they do not look at Jesus Christ and believe who he actually is. They do not demonstrate faith in Jesus and in his power. But we're not much better than them. I think if we were in this situation, we'd be tempted to respond in the exact same way. I mean, Jesus, I can count. There's 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there's a huge crowd out there. That food couldn't even feed us, let alone everybody out there. What's your plan? What in the world are you going to do? But the disciples learn. And we need to learn as well that because Jesus is God, all things are possible. Jesus is showing so clearly in this miracle that he is the God who cares for his people. So Jesus the shepherd cares, he tests, and thirdly and finally we see that Jesus the shepherd provides. In verses 38 to 44. Again, when Jesus does this, when he feeds the 5,000, he reveals who he is and what he's come to do. We so see so clearly that he is God. He comes with the power of God to care for the needs of his people. And we see that care and that power in many different ways in this passage. Most obvious one is that he provides miraculously. Verse 41, he multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 plus people. Without even breaking a sweat, Jesus is demonstrating his power, his miraculous power. There are no limits that we can put on Jesus the shepherd. We also see that he provides abundantly. Notice those details in verses 42 and 43. All ate. Every single person there ate and they were satisfied. Completely satisfied. This was not a light snack. This was a full meal for his people. And verse 43, there were abundant leftovers. 12 baskets of bread and fish left over. He is a God. Jesus is a God. Jesus is a shepherd who meets his people's needs abundantly. We also see that Jesus meets not just our spiritual needs, but our physical needs. I know that may sound obvious from the miracle because he's giving them food, but don't miss that. He was teaching them before, and now he feeds them. He's caring for them spiritually and physically. He gives real food and real fish to take away real hunger. Don't ever forget that this is your shepherd. Your shepherd cares for you, body and soul. And he's going to take care of you, body and soul. Jesus the shepherd also provides, this is an important point, Jesus the shepherd provides through his apostles. Don't miss this. It's actually one of the main points of the miracle. Jesus uses the apostles in this miracle. Look at verse 38. Jesus uses their own food as the basis of the miracle. And later he makes the disciples, these men, these apostles, as the people who distribute the bread and fish to the crowd. And it's these very same men who later collect up all the leftovers. Think about what Jesus had challenged them before. He said, "You give them something to eat." Well, actually, Jesus is fulfilling that very challenge as he uses them in his work here. Jesus is making a very big point by using the apostles here, by using all of his disciples. He's reinforcing a new pattern in his ministry, the pattern that stretches all the way from Mark 6 through Acts and until today. And this is the pattern. Jesus provides for his people through his people. And he does this especially through the leaders he has appointed. In this case, he uses his apostles. In particular, he uses the other disciples that there were there that day. Now, if we look at our own life now, our own day now in the church, he's doing that same work. He's providing for us as people through his people, especially through the leaders, through the pastors, the elders, and the deacons that he has given to his sheep. We see this especially in the New Testament. Jesus the shepherd uses under-shepherds to care for us. We see that in Peter's words in 1 Peter 5. Peter describes there Jesus as the chief shepherd and the people he's put as leaders in the church as under-shepherds, those who care for us in his name. Now this pattern that Jesus the shepherd uses people to care for us has a lot of practical applications. I'm just going to mention a few here. First one is preaching. First application here is about how we listen to preaching. When you hear a sermon, when you are sitting here right now, Jesus is feeding you through the preaching of the Word. Listen to the voice of your shepherd as you hear the Word preached and applied to your life. This is your shepherd speaking to you right now. But there are other things that pastors and elders and deacons do. Think about maybe a pastoral visit. You know, when Peter, myself, or others come to your house. Or even if there is some serious issue and we come in to talk about discipline with you. This is also the work of Jesus Christ, your shepherd, for you. Jesus, your shepherd, is using us to guide you and to guard you. I mean, as I say this, no leader is perfect. I am not a perfect pastor. Pete is not a perfect elder. We do not have perfect people leading the church. But your shepherd is perfect. And your shepherd is going to use us. And he's going to use us to help you. He also works through many other means. I don't want to discount that. Private devotions day by day. Your fellowship with the saints. There are so many ways that God does his perfect work in you. But he is particularly pleased to work by the Holy Spirit through men that he's gifted and appointed. It was true for the apostles, and we see that it's true for us today. So Jesus the shepherd, in an amazing way, chooses to provide through people. But that points us actually back to himself, because he's using people, but he himself is the one who provides. He is providing for us as the promised Savior. That's what we see here, that he is our shepherd and our Savior. When Jesus feeds the 5,000 here, he is demonstrating that he is the shepherd that God has promised to Israel. He's saying, I'm God himself who cares for his people. There are so many places in the Old Testament that we can look to see these promises and to see them start getting fulfilled in Mark 6. Think about how God feeds Israel in the wilderness during the Exodus. After Israel's left Egypt, they spend 40 years in the wilderness. And God faithfully feeds them with manna and other food every single day. That seems like an impossible task. And even a man of faith like Moses even says that to God at one point. He says, what you have just promised to do seems impossible. Well, look at where we are. What is Jesus doing? Here we are with Jesus. He is feeding Israel again in a desolate place. Notice that little detail. That's not accidental. It's mentioned three times in this passage that they are in a desolate place, far away from anything else. And here is Jesus taking care of them in a way that only the God of the Exodus can do. Jesus is that faithful shepherd. Think of another place we read from Ezekiel 34 about God's promise to lead his sheep as his people and to provide for them. 34:15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Well, when we meet Jesus here, we see that he's both of those things. He is God who is taking care of his sheep. And he is also David the king, the divine shepherd that God has given to care for his people. Ezekiel 34 is being fulfilled right in front of the eyes of that crowd. And Jesus, that shepherd, does way more than just serve one dinner. That passage in Ezekiel 34 is kind of opening our eyes to the greatness of what Jesus the shepherd does. But when I said there were Old Testament connections, I bet you went first to Psalm 23. That's another one of these clear examples in the Old Testament promising us the work of Jesus Christ. Because here is Jesus fulfilling Psalm 23. Jesus is showing that he is the Lord who is our shepherd. And if he is our shepherd, we shall not want. He's leading them into the green pastures. He's leading them along the quiet waters. He is feeding and caring for the sheep. If he can do that one thing, then he can do everything else that we see in that psalm. Every moment of our lives, even through the valley of the shadow of death and into his presence forever. This is part of the greatness of what we see here as we look at Jesus being the shepherd. But it gets better than that, because we also see in the New Testament that Jesus is the good shepherd who even lays down his life for the sheep. Think about another meal in the New Testament where Jesus hosted some other people and he fed them in a very similar way. I'm talking about the Lord's Supper. Jesus was the host at the Lord's Supper as well. And he fed his disciples. And what does he teach us about what that meal means? He says the Lord's Supper is a picture of the gospel. It is teaching us that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, provides for us by giving us himself for the needs of his people. We have salvation from our sins only in Jesus' body and blood shed for us on the cross. John says it so well. John 10:11, he's quoting Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus, the Shepherd, feeds us by laying down his life for us, by being that sacrifice for our sin. And that sacrifice, that very sacrifice, is how he can provide for us now. Because now he is that risen Savior as well. And we have every blessing in the spiritual places in Christ. In Christ our Shepherd, through his powerful Spirit, from our loving Heavenly Father. Jesus the Shepherd is still at work in our lives. Really, the feeding of the 5,000, it is meant to open our eyes to see the greatness of Jesus Christ. And it's meant to change our hearts to worship and to depend on our Shepherd. This is our Savior. Jesus is our compassionate, powerful Savior who abundantly provides for all our needs in the very best way. Do you know you're needy? I think we do. I think we know we're very needy. Just regroup me and look at our prayer requests. Listen to what we say in the beginning of the service. Think about your own life or in the needs of the church. Each one of us knows our own needs, and we know so many needs around us. What do you need from Jesus Christ today? What are you facing right now? What are ways you need to grow? What are ways that our church needs to be protected or our church needs to grow? As you start to think about our needs, if we're really honest and we see the situation correctly, we probably only know a tiny percent of our true physical and spiritual needs. What we see is probably tiny, the tip of the iceberg. But this is really the greatness of Jesus Christ, our Shepherd. He knows all of our needs, and he meets all of our needs completely and in the very best way. You can hear Jesus as he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." Listen to Paul. This is the confidence that Paul has for other believers. He says, Philippians 4:19, "And my God will provide every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That is a promise that God, through Christ, will meet our needs. And we can see that. He's already met our greatest need. He has given us salvation. And he says, "If I have given my own Son to you and saved you, how will I not also give you all good things in him?" Everything that you need. Every single thing. This passage is pushing us. Jesus is pushing us. Trust him. Trust your shepherd to provide. What do you need? What do you think you need? Do you need help with your job? Jesus will provide. Do you need help in your marriage? Jesus, the shepherd, provides. Do you need to grow in your love for others? Jesus will give you that. Are you battling against sin? Jesus the Shepherd will strengthen you. Do you want to understand him more? He will open the eyes of your heart to see him clearly. I can go on and on and on with a list like this, but this is the takeaway. He will do it. Because he's your shepherd, he cares for you, and he is at work. In his way, in his time, yes. So sometimes we have to be patient, and sometimes the answer is different from what we might expect. But he will take care of us. The takeaway is that we are so much more needy than we know. But our shepherd is more generous than we could ever imagine. That's one of the beauties of this passage, that we can trust in our loving, powerful shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will meet your needs, and He will meet my needs, and He will meet our needs as a congregation, because He's a loving shepherd. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your care for us as Your sheep, the people of Your own pasture. It's amazing to realize that You were willing to sacrifice Your life for us, that You were willing to leave heaven, to come down to serve us and to die for us. And now You are continuing to be our shepherd, to raise us up, to walk alongside us, to encourage us, to grow us. Lord, we know that we sin so many times against You as Your sheep. We still walk away from You, and yet we know that You care for us. We pray especially for all of us as we look at the needs in our own lives. And we pray that You would give us that faith, increased faith and trust, that You can meet all of our needs. You can meet all the needs of Your people, all the needs of Your church. And Lord, as we look at the people around us, the crowds around us, the people we work with, the friends, the family, so many who are outside of You, we pray that You would be that faithful shepherd who calls even sinners to repentance and faith and is able to save any of Your people and to make them Your sheep. We pray that You would do this wonderful work for Your glory and for our good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.